Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Hey y'all, welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and today I'm answering a reader question. As always, you can send me your questions, and you have several options for ways to get a hold of me. You can email sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. You can hit me up on Twitter if your question is short enough, at Timmery, T-I-M-A-R-E-E, underscore L-E-I-G-H. You can also go to facebook.com/sexwithtimmery and send me a private message on there, or write it on the wall if you feel comfortable with that as well. So, definitely just driving home the point that you too can contribute questions that become part of this podcast. So if anything is tickling your taint right now, let me know and we will figure it out. So today's question is very brief. How important do you think it is to be honest with partners about your sexual history? That's a pretty big question. Obviously that's encompassing like a lot. Sexual history means different things to different people. And the first thing that comes to mind is, of course, that when we're talking STIs, when we're talking contraceptive stuff, that's, I think, the ethical decision is to always be upfront about that, because part of informed consent is knowing what you are actually getting into, and that includes, you know, risk and the possibility of pregnancy if that could result from the acts that you're about to do. So if you are going to be putting someone at risk of some sexually transmitted infection, whether it be something like herpes or, you know, you just haven't had an STI screening in a while, I think those are things that just need to be mentioned. There are ways of doing it that will not kill the mood, and there are ways of discussing it in advance if this is someone that, you know, you're dating as opposed to someone you're just hooking up with. So I think when it comes to sexual health things, it's obviously not the law, but ethically, it's important to give people the opportunity to choose whether or not to be involved in a sexual activity that you know for a fact will pose a specific risk to them. And that includes not being on any form of contraception. So this goes both ways. Both you as an individual have the obligation to tell other people what risks they are taking, but conversely, you also have the responsibility to ask if there are things that you are curious about. Don't assume that the other person is going to be abiding by this full disclosure rule. Don't assume that the other person will tell you. They might be assuming that if you're interested, you will ask. And so take that responsibility as well. These were equal in levels of importance. So making no assumptions on either side in terms of sexual health behaviors. So obviously everything is on a spectrum of risk. Nothing is without risk. Some things are just a little bit more likely to result in certain consequences than others. So just having a realistic understanding of what your level of risk is for what you're planning on doing. The next thing that came to mind for me when people are talking about sexual history is going to be more along the lines of what's your number. And I know that there's been plenty of like pop culture discussion on the importance of this and the fact that ultimately people will freak out about this, not because of the number itself, but because of where your number lies in contrast to theirs. So, I mean, it's like that old joke. It's like, who's a slut? Who's promiscuous? Anybody who's had more sex than you have. And obviously, we're going to be the sex positive folks who don't have arbitrary numbers. We don't draw like specific lines in the sand and say, you're a good person, you're a bad person, you're a sexually active person, you're a prude, etc. So discussions of numbers, I think that's the sort of conversation you only have if you really, really want to know because you just find it interesting and you think that it will be part of just learning about this person and their life experiences. So it wouldn't be a valid way to figure out whether or not someone's going to be an ethical partner or whether or not someone's even going to be very good at having sex, because you could have a lot of bad sex. And if you have a lot of one times, like one night stands, you're not necessarily getting practiced. There are plenty of people who have had lots and lots and lots of sex without learning anything from it. And conversely, there are plenty of people who the first time out of the gate ended up with a patient partner who knew what they liked, and they were able to learn from each other what feels good. And they might, though lacking in number of partners, have really quality experience. So number of partners is not necessarily the super most illustrative question to ask. But it is interesting, of course, just to know where your partner's coming from in terms of, like, what has their sex life been up to this point? Is it a series of serious romantic relationships that eventually got sexual? Is it a lot of hookups and sometimes they would turn into dating? Is it, you know, feast and famine periods of back and forth of nothing at all and then, like, just tons? Just whatever. There's lots of different patterns, obviously. And from that, you don't necessarily get a full picture of a person, but you might get a picture of what their life has been like. And you can learn a lot about somebody and the way that they view sexuality or have viewed sexuality or have used sexuality in the past. So that might be an interesting thing to know about them and something that you talk about in terms of building intimacy. So if you're going to share this information with somebody, it might be a really good idea because it's a way that you're making yourself vulnerable and talking about yourself, and then intimacy is built by that vulnerability being reciprocated. So if you're getting to know someone and letting them into your life, this is pretty significant information to give someone. It's not something you tell everyone. Hopefully, maybe. I don't know. I don't judge you if you tell people at the bank about your sex life. But they might. They may not want to hear about it. But if you're talking to someone who's going to be an intimate sexual partner, this is a particular way to build intimacy, if that's what you're looking for out of this question. Because again, this is pretty broad. What are some other issues that might be important to bring up with someone? Well, there are, you know, some things that are just going to be person to person. Like, what matters to me might be different than what matters to you. It may be a really big deal to one person that their partner has never orgasmed from partnered sex. And to someone else, that's not a big deal. To one person, it might be a really big deal that you've had group sex or sex with a particular type of person or a gender of person. And to somebody else, that's not an important detail. So it's really going to differ from person to person. And the thing is you actually probably won't know until you've had a conversation what it is that really matters to them. So that if you've been together for X amount of months or years and then finally reveal something and then they're like, why didn't you tell me? That's a really big deal. Like, you may not have known that that's a big deal to them. Things that might be big deals, and we can generally assume that this is information you might want to share, would include, like, if you're currently in a relationship with someone else, that would count as information about your sexual history and your sexual present that matter. And to some folks, it would also matter if you ever have been married or something like that, that would be a significant detail that they would want to know. So things like serious relationships and marriage history might matter to someone. And definitely if you are currently married or currently partnered to someone else, I think telling them that counts as part of informed consent, because for many people, the act of being the other partner, even if it's in an open relationship situation, even if your partner at home is going to be okay with it, the new partner who does not have this information may feel like they were cheated out of crucial information, that they may not have made the same decision had they not known the full details. So I think it's also important, again, to think about not just what you think is relevant, but what they probably think is relevant. Another question might be, if you have a sexual past that might be a little bit, more traumatic, either in terms of having been sexually assaulted or having ever sexually assaulted someone. Is that something that you're going to tell a future partner? And I think that is totally, if you are a survivor of sexual assaults, that is really up to you how much you feel like telling anybody about that. But it might become relevant if it's starting to affect your relationship. If you're having sexual problems resulting from something that has come from trauma, it can be really helpful so that your partner knows what's behind that trauma and they don't internalize it and think that it's their fault or think that there's a problem with your relationship. So that might be a time when it's not necessarily your responsibility to tell, but it might be a good thing to do to tell them. Let's say you have a sexual offender past. When do you let someone know that? Again, I'm not the boss of you and I'm not going to tell you what to do, but that is, I think, part of informed consent. And for some people, that's going to change the game in terms of their willingness to perhaps go forward with the relationships, or perhaps just whether to go forward with a sexual act, may or may not make a difference. And as everything, I mean, you ultimately are in charge of when you tell these things. There's no law about the matter. But if you think that it's going to change their decision, think about why it would change their decision, and therefore, is it fair to them to not give them that information? If somebody would make a different decision with the full information, that's part of informed consent. So obviously, this isn't a show about, you know, me telling you what to do, but just to think about what kind of an ethical sexual being you want to be, and what can you do to proceed forward for the rest of your life being the most ethical sexual being that you can be. So let's drive this all home again. So what is important when you're talking about sexual history with a possible partner? It's about figuring out what they really ultimately want to know, and perhaps that means asking more questions. So rather than, you know, just responding with your number of partners, being like, well, so why is that interesting to you? What do you think that number means? Or, you know, elaborating more about, so do you think that all sexual acts, you know, are equal? Are you just more interested in how many serious relationships I've had? What is the significance of the number or whatever? Finding out what underlines it rather than just the question itself on its face, as though that is literally all that needs to be answered. And also thinking about giving people the opportunity to have informed consent, because yay, we're all about that. And that means more than just, are you able to consent to this specific act? Are you drunk? You know, are you of age? It means giving them the full idea of what they're in for. Because what is wrong with having sex with a kid or a teenager is, you know, they can say yes, but the question is, are they in a position to fully understand the consequences of what they're about to do? And so if you're having a conversation with an adult and they don't fully understand the consequences of what they're about to do, that's not ethical either. So if you're putting someone at risk for an STI and not going to tell them, I would recommend definitely reconsidering that. And of course, using safer sex practices to reduce risk as much as possible. And always considering not just your own outcomes, but outcomes for other people and how you would want to have been approached by other people in the past as well. So as always, hit me up if you have sexuality questions or whatever. You can email sexwithtimory@gmail.com, facebook.com/sexwithtimory. You can hit me up on a private message there. You can tweet at me. That's cool. And thank you very much for listening, and have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Sex with Timory, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimory.com, Sex with Timory on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timory_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.